Creek. Let's get back into our text. By the time we're done with this little series, I hope this is going to be ingrained in your mind. How to conquer discouragement. You got to recognize the reality of it, the reasons for it, and then understand the remedies that can bring you out of it. And it's really all contained here in Psalm 42 and verse 5. He asks this soul-searching question, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" We've all felt that before. "And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance." Verse 11, he says it in a little different way. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." Now we looked at last week a couple of things that I recommend when you get discouraged and things seem to not be going your way, or you're troubled about something, or you're afflicted or chastened, or you got a setback in your life and you start to despair, you get discouraged, I call it down in the mully grubs. What do you do? What I do is I begin to think about God. Just like the text says, if you're cast down and your soul is disquieted within you, hope thou in God. Think deeply upon Almighty God. He is the answer to everything. When you boil it all down, He's the answer to everything. He is where our hope, our faith must be placed. And like I told you last week, I like to think about the fact that God never changes. He is not fickle. He doesn't change from moment to moment. He doesn't ever have a bad day. His grace is eternal. His love is eternal. He is the Almighty God who has never had to apologize for anything, because He's never done anything wrong. He is eternally, immutably the same. And He is the one that told the Israelites, the nation of Israel, which they were pretty fickle. They were all over the place. And yet He says in the very last book of the Old Testament, Malachi 3:6, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." And then last week we also looked at those times that we feel like we're powerless because of discouragement. Think on the power of God and how He exercises that power. I love to think of God as the Creator. If He could speak the world into existence, don't you think that He could deal with the problems in your life? I start thinking, it's just little old me, you know? In the vastness of this, all of this universe, that He's upholding all things with the word of His power, I know that if He's able to do that, He's able to help me, little old me. And it amazes me that a God that great, that almighty, that powerful would be willing to exercise that power on my behalf. And it's illustrated in the way that He saves our souls. Think about where he brought us from. Death to life. Darkness to light. Ignorance to enlightenment. All by the power of God. We're kept by the power of God. The only reason tonight that you don't lose your salvation is because God has secured it. Christ paid for it. The Holy Spirit is the earnest of it. And God's power conquers all. And Romans 8 teaches us that. We covered a lot of that last week. But now, tonight, when trials and difficulties are overwhelming my life, I take comfort in the fact, and Doug prayed about this in his prayer. You know, I love it when our men pray intelligently, by scripturally, according to the promises of the Word of God, the truths of the Word of God. I believe that we've got a church full of men that believe God's Word, that believe the promises that are in this Word, and they don't go about prayer haphazardly. But he prayed and he thanked God for his sovereignty. The fact that he rules over all of everything, all of our lives, all of everyone's life. And I take great comfort that in knowing that nothing can come into my life as a Christian that God has not previously designed for my good and for His glory. And you know the famous verse. Go ahead. You know it. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and who are the called according to His purpose. Now I'm not gonna lower your grade because you had so much extra credit. It makes up for all that. Okay? But God is working all things. He's ordained it all. Things may seem like they're a surprise to us when they come into our lives, and we may not expect them. They may come out of nowhere. But God's not been taken by surprise. He has appointed everything at all times. There are no accidents. There is nothing in our lives that God, it's already passed. Before the world began, it passed His reviewing stand in eternity, in the infinity of eternity. And it said, for His glory and our good, He stamped it for approval. And that's why it's come into our life. And you may not realize the difficulty that you're going through is going to bring so much glory to God. Even that feeling of discouragement. When God enables you to conquer it and get over it, you're going to praise Him for it. But it's been appointed by God. It says in 2 Thessalonians, maybe it's 1 Thessalonians. Yeah, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. He says in verse 2, 1 Thessalonians 3:2, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. It's God working out His will. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 4. It's one of my favorites. I say that every sermon, don't I? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We have to realize this. God is sovereignly working everything. And he says in verse 15, for all things are for your sakes. Even your low points, your difficult hours, your discouraging times, it's all for your sake. That the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction. Now, it may seem heavy to you, but with God, all things are possible. It's light to Him. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more and exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And how does it work for us? While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. We have faith in Almighty God, in His sovereign purpose, that He does all things well, that He's never made a mistake, that He cares for your soul, that He wants the best for your life. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, how far back does this purpose of grace, of God's sovereignty, how far back does it go? Turn over to Isaiah chapter 46 and verse 9. He tells us something here about His sovereignty. God tells the prophet Isaiah, remember the former things of old, for I am God. I am the sovereign God. I am the God who has ordered every event for all of time. For I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not done, not yet done. Saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. Sovereign. He's going to do His will, and He's going to do His work. And you know, I am so thrilled that God showed this to a heathen king who had exalted himself. And you know, God did a miraculous thing. I believe He saved Nebuchadnezzar and gave him an understanding of the sovereignty of God. There's a reason he came to the understanding as to why God smote him with the disease of lycanthropy, where a man takes on the characteristics of an animal. He was in a field eating grass like an ox. We're talking about the king of Babylon, whose pride, he was knocked down by God. And he did not complain when God brought him back to his senses. Rather, he began to exalt the sovereignty of God. Look what it says here. Verse 34, Daniel 4, and at the end of the days I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned to me. And I bless the Most High. I love the title that He gives to God. The Most High. No one is greater. He is sovereign in all authority. There's none higher than God. And I praised and honored Him that liveth forever and ever. He had an understanding of the eternality of God, the infinity of God, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation. He is the King, the everlasting King. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say unto Him, What doest Thou? At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my Lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom. An excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and His ways judgment, and those that walk in pride He is able to abase. This heathen king came to an understanding that God had worked His sovereign purpose in his life. Psalm 115 and verse 3, Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever it hath pleased Him. When it seems like your world may be coming apart, realize that God's got it all under control. And a lot of the things that you worry about, that you get discouraged over, some of them you can fix. When you do dumb stuff, repent of it. It's not that difficult. And God, I believe, shows you when you sin, when you go against Him. But there's some things that you have absolutely no control over. So what do? Instead of worrying about it, say, I'm going to take the advice of David when he said, Hope thou in God. I'm going to trust the Almighty. I'm going to believe that He has every little detail, every precise detail under control, and that He is able to handle it. I believe that. And it'll help you when you get that, when you understand that. Look over at Ephesians chapter 1. After really a hymn of sovereign grace, verses 1 through 7. Notice what he says in verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. Again, this comforts my heart. He's working all things after His own will. And His will's perfect, unlike my will, which is corrupt. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. And then another attribute that inspires hope within my heart during times of discouragement is the faithfulness of God. I get discouraged when by my own unfaithfulness or by God's people's unfaithfulness. Though we may not be faithful, we can rest assured that God is ever faithful. He's never gone back on a promise. In a world where unfaithfulness is on every side, it is a great comfort to know that God abides in perfect faithfulness to carry out all of His promises. You can pillow your head on that each night. God's always going to be faithful to His covenant promises that He's made to you in Christ. And I love the verses in Lamentations 3, verse 22 and through 24. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. Rest in that tonight. When everything seems to be topsy-turvy, you can go to God in time of need. He's ever faithful to hear your prayers. He's ever faithful to see your circumstances. And He loves you. And that will never change. And so tonight I pray that you would just feel yourself wrapped in the everlasting arms of a faithful God who will never, ever let you go.